Pacifico. Phil Henry.
What have you been doing, man? Hey, welcome everybody. The world famous Phil Henry Show. It's got to be Friday because I'm dragging just a little bit. Not because I'm not happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here. But I guess I had another one of those nights or something.
You're going to keep on having those nights if you keep drinking that mud.
Yeah. Well, I love my Turkish coffee, so, you know.
Well, you love your Turkish coffee, but
I don't think that's it. I honestly don't think that's it. I think it's just because I've got my brain goes a million miles a second. I wake up at, I hit the sack last night probably about 3:30, but I wake up at like 5, and I get excited about stuff. I do. I look out, and the sun is coming up, and I got to tell you, I'm not saying this to rub it in, but where I live it lifts the spirit to get out of bed in the morning and to walk by a window and look a block down the street, and there's the Pacific Ocean.
Well, don't rub it in, Phil. There are people that...
I'm not rubbing anything in. I think people want to hear this. It really lifts the spirit, and especially when you see the rays of the sun, and, you know, of course, I'm looking toward the west, and the sun rises in the east. But if you look east from my house, you're looking out over a boatyard, which is attached to a harbor, and you sort of see the spires and the masts of the ships, and you see the sun kind of streaming across that. There's a jetty over there. And on really good mornings, you can hear the sea lions barking.
No, you're rubbing it in on a... if there's a poor guy that's listening...
What do you mean, poor guy? Yeah, bud, what does that mean, a poor guy? So poor guys can't live near the water?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. There's a lot of very, very, I would say, modest neighborhoods that are near the ocean. But look, let's not get into that right now. Just allow me to... I was talking about my sleep habits, and I want to... I'm turning over a new leaf here. I'm not going to let you guys slow me up or confuse me, okay?
That's what I've been telling you for a long time. Everybody, these two here...
No, Robert. You don't point to me and say, these two here. All right? I don't sidetrack Phil. It's that one.
No, wait a sec. You don't point to me and say that one.
Will you hold on for just a minute, please? It's everybody. It's all of you guys with the big fat mouths while I'm trying to say something. Now, I'm not letting you sidetrack me. I started this hour by talking about my sleep habits and the tough time I have sleeping, which I've shared with the audience. And I had a tough one last night, but it wasn't like I was, you know, tossing and turning and worrying about the bills or something like that. I hit the sack about 3:30, and then I woke up at 5 o'clock, maybe 5:30. At whatever time I woke up, there was the light of the day was beginning to stream into the room, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what kind of a day it is. That's just the guy that I am, you know. A lot of people will say to you, and people have said this to me, that's, Phil, you got to resist the temptation. You got to just, you know, lay back down in bed and just keep on sleeping, because the minute you get up, the heart starts beating more. But I don't know, I haven't done that since I was a kid. And you wake up and you see the light of the day coming in, and then I take a walk out into the living room or something, and I look and there's the ocean, and then I look toward toward the back of my house, and I see the boatyard there, and you hear the and then the other thing that's kind of funny where I live, I can hear the Navy guys. I can hear these cats in the Navy. It's pretty funny. They're out. Excuse me. They're out running and exercising, you know.
Well, don't you hear the taps?
Yeah, I hear taps because I live near a naval base. And some mornings I hear, that's not taps. Taps is when a guy's dead or something.
No, that's taps is when I'm waking it up.
No, it's not. Taps is that sad, dun, 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 you know that one?
Well, is that a real song or did they make that up for cartoons?
Yeah, they thought that was a cartoon one.
No, it's not a cartoon one. Don't say that. That's an actual mournful bugle solo that is played in the military for the fallen. Taps. Okay?
What's one of those dun, 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 dun? Yeah, that's the one I heard the other day on TV.
Wait a minute. What is Dan saying here? Reveille is played in the morning. Thank you, Dan. Dan's a former, you know, he was in the military.
Well, then ask Dan what is the one that goes... Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, it goes... Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's Russian or something.
What?
That is. That's like a Russian funeral march. I think that's... I heard that once when I was watching a Russian funeral on TV for one of their big leaders, and they were playing that very dun 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 dun, dun. That one?
Yes, that's the one. Is that, you say it's Russian, is it Tchaikovsky or?
I don't know, but that's, I think it's very decidedly European. I've never heard that played at any American military funeral or anything else. Although, maybe at my funeral, I'd like them to play that. Would you make a note, Bud?
Yeah.
At my funeral, I want them to play dun, dun, da, dun.
Quit joking like that, Mr. Henry.
Oh, don't start getting sappy. I'm not dying anytime soon, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know. It could happen tonight. A gunman could burst in here tonight.
Would you stop that, please?
I don't know.
How dare you scare me like that?
Margaret, you know, when you're doing a talk show, it's kind of like, you know, we're our ass is up for grabs here, man. And, you know, it's kind of like being a cop in a way, you know. I don't know.
Would you please stop that or I'm leaving?
All right, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Okay. So, just to make a long story short, yeah, I woke up and I was like, wow, this is look at the day. The day's so beautiful. So what do? You know, I get up. I flip on the news, maybe, or I go out, I take a walk out on the beach, and the next thing you know, now I've got, I don't know about you, but exercise does not tire me out. Exercise wakes me up, and exercise gives me more energy. So when you guys have been telling me, like Margaret, you guys were talking about, go out and run and you'll get tired, no way.
What about that time you said you didn't sleep all night?
Yeah, the one time I, you know, there was a couple times where I had really bad insomnia, and I was awake all night, and I went out, and I ran on the beach, and I got back. No way, man. I was still wide awake. I will say this. Eventually, that did kind of tucker me out, because I think within a couple of hours I went to sleep. But that was kind of that. So I'm not dragging today. I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be here. But, yeah, it was just another weird, weird night with Phil.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot. Well,
please, yeah, don't get...
There's probably a lot of ladies that can say that.
That's exactly what I didn't want to say.
Thank you, Margaret. Bud?
Sorry.
All right. By the way, remember the story we did last night about the little boy who was abducted by his grandparents? There's more information coming out. You know, I was a little bit premature. Of course, I'm a talk show host, so naturally I am premature. And I don't mean, you know... Don't say it. I'm talking about with information.
And opinions.
And opinion. Only on this show, I admit when I'm wrong. Most shows, they'll say, well, now, wait a minute, I didn't say that. What I did say was, in any event, the kid was abducted by his grandparents, yes. And I remember I said on the show yesterday, and that's a crime, yes. And they, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out the grandparents abducted this little boy in 1994 while his mother was living in a car. The mother and the stepfather were living in a car. And the grandparents came along and said, well, this is just not going to happen, man. You know, this is one of those kind of moral dilemmas. You know what I'm saying?
What's that?
You know, a moral dilemma is when you ask yourself this question. Do I break the law for a higher moral good? Or do I adhere to the law because it's the law? And as a member of society, you know, we're only as good as our weakest law in terms of, you know, keeping anarchy from the door. Laws are good. Laws are, you know, remember that great monologue in Man for All Seasons, where he says to his son-in-law Thomas More, he says, would you cut down all the laws of England?
Now, Phil,
what?
You're starting to get into your.
Yeah, stop thinking like doing a PBS show.
Yeah, you're talking weird.
Well, that's just too bad. I'm going to have to talk weird.
Well, yeah, people don't know.
Go ahead, say it.
People aren't smart enough.
People aren't smart enough. Bull crap. I'll just say it real fast.
Okay, I'm counting. 1,002, 1,000.
Okay, shut up, bud. Sir Thomas More is talking to his son-in-law, and he says to his son-in-law, you want to get at the devil, don't you? And his son-in-law says, yes. I want to kill the devil. And he said, and would you cut down all the laws in England to get at the devil? He said, I would cut down every law in England if it was to kill the devil. And Thomas More says to him, and when all the laws are flat and the devil turns around on you, Where are you going to hide then? He said, the laws, I respect law for my own safety's sake, is the message that he's giving to his son-in-law, saying that when you're chasing the devil, there are certain things that you don't want to cut through and slash and burn. There are certain things you're going to need. And so law is one of those things. However, having said all of that.
Now, how are you going to tie this in with a woman sleeping in a car?
I'll tell you how.
Got to take a break.
Then
we got Mr. Hall.
Will you let me finish what I'm saying?
We have to take a break, and I've got to use the toilet.
Well, so what does that got to do with me?
You got the key. You got the key in the car?
Yeah, I think I'll have the key to the problem.
And then Mr. Hall's on the line.
Yeah, where's the key to the bathroom?
Hey, I'm really thankful everybody's interested in what I've got to say. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. Oh, okay, Sir Thomas Moore. Bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Lady, just call. What's the name of that movie? Out of season? The Four Season? Oh, by the way, I don't want to, just as a little bit of a public service here from the Phil Hendry Show, from me to you, the Department of Homeland Security is saying disable your Java software.
What?
Yeah, that's right. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has advised people to temporarily disable the Java software on their computers to avoid potential hacking attacks. Huh?
What's that mean? Do I hack in, man? Is that the Chinese?
Well, I don't know. No, the Chinese. But, I mean, in other words, what they're saying is there is a weakness in the software, in the Java experience, shall we call it. There's a weakness. There are exploitable areas. And the recommendation came in an advisory which was issued following concerns raised by computer security experts. Experts believe hackers have found a flaw in Java's coding that creates an opening for criminal activity and other high-tech mischief. So we're not just talking about the Chinese, bud. We're talking about...
Yes, anybody that wants to break into a computer and has the know-how.
Oh, well, I know the Chinese.
Yeah, man, we all talk about the Chinese.
Forget it. The Chinese are always going to be the Chinese are always going to be there, man. What are you talking about? Java? Chinese don't care. You could have the great... I bet you the Chinese could bust through the Norton antivirus, like, for instance, on our computers. All this antivirus. I bet you it would take the Chinese like 3 seconds to break into our stuff.
What are you talking about? We got a warranty.
It doesn't matter, but if we have a warranty, the Chinese. Do you understand the Chinese?
What does that mean?
What does it mean? We're dealing with an ancient culture. We're dealing with a culture that is thousands of years old. The United States has been here 200 years. Before that, another 200 years, let's say, before the Europeans settled North America. And before that, with all due respect, hunter-gatherer societies. Meanwhile, the Chinese have gunpowder.
Well...
And they have other things, too. Other things that we can only imagine. Other things we can only dream of.
Margaret...
Phil, I want to finish this. This is very important. Bud asked the question. I'm going to finish it. The Chinese have...
Will you hold on for a minute?
What?
It sounds like you're giving a speech now at the UN. The Chinese...
Excuse me, I didn't know the Chinese. I'm talking about the exploitability, as you said, of our computers. You've got 1 billion Chinese itching to crawl into your tower drive. That probably didn't sound good.
No, it didn't.
Oh, look at you.
Well, Ms. Gray, you made it sound very, very dirty.
She didn't make it sound dirty.
Yes, she did. Said the Chinese want to crawl up your tower drive.
You didn't say crawl up.
I didn't say crawl up. I said crawl in.
That's less sexual? I don't know. I don't know about that. I'd have a very serious disagreement with you on that.
Okay, bud, thank you so very much, Mr. Omnibudsman and...
What'd you say?
Omnibudsman? Whatever? Isn't that the guy that, like, is in control of content? Anyway, make a long story short... The U.S. Department, and I'm always using that phrase, make a long story short, because I'm the guy trying to make it short, and you're the people here trying to make it long.
That's what she said.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
In any event, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has advised people to temporarily disable the Java software on their computers to avoid potential hacking attacks. Experts believe hackers have found a flaw. Java is a widely used technical language that allows computer programmers to write a wide variety of internet applications and other software programs that can run on just about any computer's operating system. Oracle bought Java as part of $7.3 billion. This was an article written in, this is from Belfast Telegraph. What is it with these, what's going on with these stories?
I don't know, man. If you look up a story, it could come from anywhere.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, that's fine, but every time I look at a story, I've got to edit it in my mind here because it's been written in some bloody damn part of the world, like that one yesterday. We were reading a story having to do with some sort of an American topic, and the story came out of the Manila Times.
Well, that's the first, I think it has to do with the most accessed.
Yeah, whichever one they go to.
So anyway, Oracle bought Java as part of a $7.3 billion acquisition of the software's creator, Sun Microsystems, in 2010. Oracle's based in Redwood Shores, Cali. They had no immediate comment. All right. And you also know that you see these Java updates on your computer. We'll say, we have updates waiting for you. And I don't know.
What are those?
I you know what? I don't know.
You don't know?
Honestly, I don't. All I knew is people were telling me, you got all these updates, Phil. Why haven't you downloaded them? I go, I don't know. This is like when I first got my computer, because I'm the most computer dumb guy going. And so, no, man, you got to update all this stuff. It's basically making the, securing certain parts of your information base, so on and so forth. I'll ask Dan during the commercial break, and I'm sure he'll be able to break it down for me.
Thank God for Dan.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. So that is a piece of news that I'm sure you all would like to know. David G. Hall joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with a couple of things to talk about. I know last night, David, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just blow you off the line, but I didn't know you were going to be on the line with us.
No, that's, let me tell you something. I appreciate, Phil, very much you coming on last night with me. I was sending, I sent Janine over to shut the car alarm off, and then you said, why are you sending a woman over to do that? And I said, my God, you're right, and that's when I called her back. And it turned out, we found out last night that Janine, I thought she was hard of hearing, because if you listen to me on the tape, I go, hey Janine.
Do we have that tape?
Well, no, you don't need the tape. I can do it for you if you want. I mean, that's what I was doing.
No, I think I remember you saying baby.
That's it. I said, hey, baby, right? She kept on walking. And I kept saying, hey, baby. And then she turned around. I said, we got to get your hearing checked. And she said, okay. So today we took her over to Dr. Allen.
That's the ear, nose, and throat guy.
Yeah, in Westlake Village. Nothing wrong with her hearing at all. She's got perfect hearing. And I said, well, I yelled at her, baby, and she kept on walking, you remember?
Yeah, well, last night, she was on her way over to shut the alarm off in the car, and that's what I said to you, it's dangerous.
Exactly. She kept walking, and then I found out that she said to me, well, you thought it was my ears. I said, yeah. She said, I didn't know you were talking to me. And I said, now watch this, Phil, because I got it. Hey, Janine, honey, yeah, we should turn the TV down. Thanks. When I said, hey, baby, even though she and I were the only people on that level of the parking garage, she thought I was talking to somebody else. Isn't that right, baby? Janine, isn't that right? See, I called her baby, and she kept on staring at the...
You know, there's some women that probably think that's not a half-bad talent. A lot of women don't want to respond to baby.
From a stranger, I can understand that. We happen to have an understanding. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? What kind of an understanding?
An understanding. We've got a.
Are you saying that you have? Well, I don't want to ask.
We've got an understanding.
Are you romantic with her?
Yeah.
Well, then say it, man. I mean, she doesn't mind these endearments, right?
I said we've got an understanding.
Is that what you call having a romantic, intimate relationship with somebody?
Yes.
No wonder she didn't understand you or hear you, man. You guys are speaking with a whole different language. So what happened?
What happened? What do you mean, what happened? I said, hey, baby. And she said, were you talking to me? I said, you're the only one here. She goes, okay, well, now I'll go.
Well, she didn't know right now when you were asking her for the to turn it down.
What?
Never mind. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
We'll be back. Phil Henry Show with more on Java and this Phil boy that was abducted. Henry. All right, we're going to get Ted Bell in here for a minute because we need an update from Ted on something that we had started with him not too long ago. When I say not too long ago, I mean something that, within the last couple of months, but it could very well have been further back. Nonetheless, Ted was enamored of the woman on the Bear Pit commercial. Was that it?
Oh, my God. You're not going to go back on that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I am, because I want to find out about it.
What do you want to find out? Do you still like the lady who has a big butt?
Because that's what it was about.
I know that, and I want to find out what the reason is the following. Alex Morgan, a member of the United States soccer team, apparently she's got a great-looking ass. I haven't seen Alex Morgan's ass, and I don't really necessarily want to sit here and just start... Even though myself and my good friend Mr. Northcraft have been connoisseurs of the female form in that area all of our lives. So you can't mess with experts on this. And
yeah, there's a lot of guys that like the lady's butt, though.
Yeah, let me tell you something about that, okay? If there are, they've been quiet for years. Because, I mean, I felt like I was the only guy in America. And so the fact that I'm talking about this, you know, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail. I'm just going to say, I don't know anything about Alex Morgan's. And plus, how old is she, man? Like, it's almost like it's not even though she's of legal age, I feel kind of creepy if a woman's under the age of 30, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Aren't you old fashioned? So what? You feel more fatherly?
No, I feel weird. You know, I think a woman from 30 on. I kind of relate to women 30 years of age and older. They seem like they've got a little bit of life experience going on. And when we talk, they sort of, the frame of reference is okay. You know?
No, I don't know. What do you mean the frame of reference?
In other words, if I just articulate a certain value or something, they don't stare back at me like I landed. Oh, what happened to the chair, bud?
You just hit the lever again on a chair. You almost had a heart attack.
You're right. Good God.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, yeah. I hit the lever on the chair and I went down again.
Yeah, I'll say you did.
Give me five.
Shut up. Watch it, man. Watch who you're screwing with, okay? This is the big dog, all right? I'm not the butt of any jokes around here.
Yes, Daddy.
Okay. So enough of all this nonsense. I'm looking at TMZ, and TMZ has this article on Alex Morgan. So apparently she's got a great-looking ass, and the thing of it is... They asked the question, are men with great-looking, quote, great-looking asses, are they as attractive to women? You know, I don't know the answer to that question at all. So we're going to get Ted Bell on here, and just if you can turn that garbage off, bud.
That's not garbage. That was the stranglers.
Isn't that nice? It's the What is that, man? Would you turn that stuff off, man? I'm listening to hip-hop or something.
See live, Harvey left.
Oh, I know what that is. It's TMZ. Yeah, if there's one thing I love doing, it's cutting off anything having to do with Harvey Levin running his mouth. There's nothing against you, Harvey. It's just, you know, no thank you. All right, Ted Bell.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
You got the wrong lineup, bud.
Steakhouse, oh. Come on down.
And everybody come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. This weekend, it's National Football League playoff time. We've got the big Kansas City Steaks, the New York Steaks, the prime rib.
Yeah.
That Green Bay game is going to be killer. And I heard something in the...
You know, we had the other line. We had David Hall's line open. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great, and great to be on the air with you, Phil. And I know that you guys wanted to bring me on to talk a little bit about the Bear Pit controversy. I want to, first of all, articulate as clearly as I can to my wife, Marcy, to my son, Josh. I am devoted to them. I love them, and I would never do anything to jeopardize our family. I know that I did ask Marcy for a divorce on your program long time ago, Phil.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a funny, I don't know. I thought it would be a great publicity stunt.
Let me be clear, Ted. This is Margaret.
Oh.
Yes, that's right, because you know I'm part of this show.
Yeah, I know you're part of the show, Margaret. I would ask you to have just a shred of decency and be respectful.
I am respectful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever you say.
Let's not do that, okay? Let's just let's give everybody the benefit of the doubt. What did you want to ask, Margaret?
I want to ask Ted the following question. Now I forgot.
Well, you know, maybe it wasn't that good of a question, but...
It was a very good question.
What did it have to do with?
What it had to do with Marcy and with Josh and the fact that he loves them, I forget.
All right. So, Ted, tell me about this Bear Pit situation. And
there is no Bear Pit situation. I was on your program, and a lot of people listening around the country are not going to understand, but because they may not be aware of the fact that there is this commercial that had aired here in the Los Angeles area, and it showed a spokeswoman for the Bear Pit, the barbecue pit, the rib pit, or whatever they call it.
Like a barbecue restaurant and everything. I go there. It's really good. Yeah, like a barbecue pit.
It's not. Yeah, it's the Bear Pit. What do you call something like that, Phil?
Barbecue restaurant.
A barbecue restaurant, is that it? I'm just kidding around.
That's cute. I like that.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So it's called a barbecue. I would think it's called a barbecue restaurant.
No, it's not. It's called the Bear Pit. All right, I'm sorry. I got to get serious here.
Yeah, would you mind?
Or I can hang up. Which is it?
I'm sorry, Ted.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Ted Bell. All right? As I said on Twitter, I want to back up here. Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, okay. I would just back up here for a minute. I said on Twitter today, I don't want to hit this one too hard, but I'm Ted Bell. And that's all I needed to say. It got retweeted. It got favorited. Some of the heaviest hitters in show business favorited and retweeted that simple tweet. I don't want to hit this too hard, but I'm Ted Bell. All right? So understand that while I can be, joked with and fooled around in this nonsense, please don't ever think that I'm that I'm out in the yard and you're sending me to get a magazine or a pack of cigarettes, because it just ain't going to happen.
I'm not doing that. I don't mean to disrespect you. I apologize. My question is this. The Bear Pit and the woman that was featured in the Bear Pit commercial, where do you stand today?
What do you mean, where do I stand?
Are you still Ted, you were ready to leave your family.
No. I was not ready to leave Let me explain. When I first saw those commercials, I was taken by surprise. You don't often see a commercial like that. It was, in point of fact, shocking. And in my wildest dreams, I never thought that I would see a woman in a television commercial in jeans that are sprayed on, lovely woman, very, large...
She's large in a top area.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, right. But Steve said it. She was large in the top area. And I never thought that I would ever see a commercial. I was stunned. There were two things that happened to me. I was stunned, and I was excited, almost to the point of passing out.
Oh, God.
Who said that?
I did, Ted. And you know something? This is America. There is free speech, and I'll say it again. Oh, God.
And what was so disgusting about what I just said?
Well, you're saying you got excited to the point of passing out. Well, good Lord. That sounds almost pornographic.
Now, let me just say something to you, Margaret. In our culture, you rarely see a woman's rear end celebrated. You rarely see the female rear end held up on high as an icon of sexual, what do you want to call it, you know, sexual magic. Is that the right word?
I guess, sure.
Yeah, you know, almost, and I'm telling you this right now, and I got into a problem because you know that Marcy and I have attended the Beverly Hills Lutheran Church for a great many years, and I've kind of bounced around. We went to Presbyterian. We even tried Episcopalian. We are very comfortable there in the Lutheran faith. And I talked to a couple of people there, and I said to them, I am considering something, and I need to get you to sign off on this, or I need to have the deacon sign off on this, that the females, and I didn't know how else to put it, I said, a female's rear end, can that be a totem, a religious totem?
Are you kidding me? Are you listening to what he's saying?
Ted, can I?
May I finish?
Wait just a second. You went to your church to ask if a woman's ass, let's be honest, okay?
I did not say ass. It's my church.
I understand that, but let's just, all right, you went to your, what did you say?
I was respectful.
Well, what word did you use?
I said a woman's butt or rear end.
I bet you they just looked at you and rolled their eyes.
No, they did not. No, no, hey, yay. Guess what, genius? You're wrong. No, they didn't. Because the guy that I talked to, who was one of the assistant deacons, he looked at me and he said, guess what, man? I got the same problem you got. And I said, well, what can we do to legitimize this? And why is it that we do not raise on high and celebrate, almost to the level of a magical totem and a talisman,
You know, you're going to have to find a more adult way, like the woman's posterior or just the female form, you know?
The female form can be anything.
Yeah, it could be her nose. It could be like her nose or her ears.
If you're looking at a silhouette, you went by celebrating a woman's nose.
No, not the nose. All right, so what did they say?
What do you mean they? I was talking to one guy in a parking lot. And
all right, what did he say?
Well, I could care less what he said. He was an assistant deacon. He's got no juice. He's got no pull there. See, I come from a restaurant tradition. I want a guy that, you know, if I can grease a guy's palm, if I've got the juice, then I want stuff to get done. You're not going to lay a 20 on a guy like that and say, all right, have it, you know, make sure the Lutherans know what's up.
Well, what happened then? What was the upshot?
The upshot was they looked at me like I escaped from a ward over here at the mental hospital. They thought that I needed an ambulance. That's what they thought. So I had to get in my car and get out of there. So I come home, and I was stunned, and I was shocked that they reacted that way. You got to understand something, Phil. When I saw the Bear Pit commercial, and here she is with that big, you know, the big...
The big butt, Ted. What's your problem?
Because I want to be respectful.
You know, this, Phil, I noticed this. The men that come on your program...
Pardon me. Will you hold off giving your inauguration speech until after I'm done?
I'm not giving a speech.
Well, you know what? I have the floor. Do I not, Mr. Henry?
Ted, yeah, let Ted finish.
Fine.
I saw the rear end of that woman, and I said, by God, my world is changing. First, look at that ass. Second, it's okay. Third, I'm in love. Fourth, I didn't know. I was hyperventilating. And that's why I had that tough week, fueled by alcohol. Now, that's the first time that's ever happened to me.
So you were drunk.
I tell you.
Were you drunk?
No, wait. I tell the two of you.
I'm here, too.
All right, I tell the three of you.
I'm sorry, I'm here, too, Mr. Bell.
I tell the four of you. Anybody else?
No, there's nobody else.
Well, I came here to change the water.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, it's the bottled water guy.
All right, I tell the five of you...
You're not telling the bottled water guy isn't listening.
Will you just come on?
All right, so I tell you... Now, I forgot what I was going to say.
You tell me about something... What? You tell me...
I tell you about the love and the passion that I have for a woman because she's got the full, big... You know, the big ass. And what do? You turn it into...
Let's take a break. Everybody is out of sorts here.
Wait, Phil, now hold on for a minute.
No, you hold on. Let's take a break. Everyone's butting in. You know, there's no timing on this show, man.
What do you mean by timing?
Yeah, it's not like we're doing no Abbott and Costello's on a first.
I'm talking about knowing when to start talking and knowing when to shut up. Abbott and Costello on the first.
Yeah.
You mean who's on first?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. That took timing, which we ain't got. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell talking about his passionate love of the woman in the bear pit commercial.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What's wrong?
Well, it makes me sound like some kind of a... Just never mind.
What we happen? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry, Ted. I've got to get your jingle here. And there we go. Ted Bell with us this hour.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The Green Bay-San Francisco game, just one of what, four games, Phil, that we've got this week into the NFL with the prime rib room. Come on in, have a Ted watch. Go ahead. And the baked potato tree. You guys are a little sloppy with it.
So I'm sorry, Ted. I missed where the commercial was located. It wasn't that I didn't. I had the wrong fader.
Well, you guys got to get tighter with that.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, you know, the best. You know, like the man said, your best. It ain't good enough.
Oh wow,
boy! I'm talking about a chop, man.
My best ain't good enough, huh?
I'm just using a little bit of a power play on you. Take it easy, for God's sake. But make sure you know, I'm paying money for that.
Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Bell, sir.
Well, don't get, well, I hurt his feelings.
Bill, he's kidding around.
So you're kidding about your best ain't good enough?
Of course I'm kidding. You think I'm going to, I don't mean that. I'm going to embarrass you in front of your listeners. Even if I did mean it, I'd make it sound like I was joking.
Well, did you mean it or didn't you?
No, I didn't mean it. But if I did mean it, I'd still say, no, I didn't mean it.
No, all right, so all... What?
Well, that's pissing me off.
What's pissing you off?
Did you mean to say to me that my best ain't good enough, or did you not?
No, I did not.
But if you did mean it, you would still say, no, you did not.
No, if I meant it, I'd say, yes, I mean it, Phil. But I'd be kidding.
And, you know,
you're on your own there.
All right, anyway...
you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Getting back to the bear pit, what is the name of that girl in the bear pit commercial?
I don't know, Phil. I don't know, and I've been trying to find out for 2 months. It's almost been a religious pilgrimage for me. Now, I know that there are people laughing, and I know that there are people... You understand, Northcraft understands, that a man... that is enamored of a woman's rear end, he can literally tear an entire brick wall down to get at it. All right?
Well, I you know.
Well, what, am I lying?
There's a great deal of, yeah, we're a special breed of man, I will say that.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's like Al Pacino in that Heat. You always quote the guy, you know, she's got a great ass, you know, and I see a woman, you know. So anyway, I went everywhere. I went to the city morgue. I looked up records.
Why the city morgue?
In case she was dead. And
wait a minute, this woman on the bear pit commercial?
Yeah, she could have died between the time that they cut the commercial time I saw it. I went to the morgue, and I, God forgive me for what I'm about to say, I went to the morgue half hoping to see her, dead but nude.
Oh. Oh, my God. I...
All right. You wanted me to be honest, and then when I'm honest, I get punished for it.
That's just perverse.
I said half-hoped. I didn't say all the way.
You went to the morgue to see if she was dead so you'd get a look at her nude.
If she was laying on her stomach.
All right. I have to...
Go to the toilet?
Did I say that?
Well, that's what you usually do.
And how do you know? You're on the phone. You're at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I listen religiously, and I listen exclusively for you to go to the bathroom. That's how sick I've become because of the, you know...
All right, Margaret, just go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to throw up.
There's some throw-up rags in there.
Thank you.
Throw-up rags?
Well, I've got some paper towels in there from last night.
Is she going to be sick, really?
I don't know, but we got the paper towels, so that's considered the throw-up.
Yeah, in case there's a throw-up.
In case there's a throw-up. I love the way your crew puts things. So in any event, Bill, to get back to what I was talking about, because I'm Ted Bell, and I don't know anybody else around here that's named Ted Bell. Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I went everywhere looking for this woman. I don't know her name, but she's gorgeous. She's got that big rear end. And but no, I didn't leave my wife and son, and nor would I. I went on a bender that week. The week you talked to me, I was a little bit out of my mind, but that's what happened. I was stunned. I was shocked. I was gladdened. I was excited. There was passion. There was fear. I wanted to live. I wanted to die.
All from seeing some woman's rear end in this commercial.
Not just a commercial. It was this big woman's big butt in a barbecue commercial. That sent me over the edge. Okay? And if she'd come out wearing a checkered kerchief or anything having to do with a cowgirl beyond the jeans, I'm going to tell you right now, they would have had to have climbed a flagpole to get me. They would have had, I don't know, they would have, they better have gotten some kind of a medevac helicopter that's reinforced iron.
All right, thanks a lot, Ted.
Maybe that they could take some...
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Yep, he's nuts, all right.
Yeah, you're mine, Mr. Bell.
Smile when you say that.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
So anyway, last night, welcome to our show, folks. Nice to be with you on this Friday night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Friday night, Saturday morning, and some sectors. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we head into the weekend. Don't forget, we've got another episode of the Phil Hendry Podcast, and that's episode 106. If you want to access our podcast, you just go to our homepage, philhendryshow.com, and you hit the podcast banner. You'll see it there on the left side of the page. And while you're there, get a backstage pass. Sign up for a subscription to our website, because you'll get, and you won't get this anywhere else on the planet Earth. You won't get this anywhere else on the planet Earth in any particular era. If you had a time machine.
Yeah, I'm going to say, go back in time.
Yes. Thank you, Robert.
Well, that's a ridiculous selling point, isn't it?
I'm just, in other words, what I'm trying to say here is, nowhere in time or space will you find a website of audio comedy with the volume that we have. 5,000 hours, almost 15 years worth. And for what, 10 bucks a month? You got to be kidding me, man. That's a better deal than you get from SiriusXM. And with all due respect, in my opinion, the only thing that's worth it on the SiriusXM side of things is O&A, Howard.
Maybe sometimes the NASCAR.
Yeah, I said auto racing.
And I like the, what else do they have? They have, hold on. They've got,
I'm doing a promo for my website.
I know, but you mentioned SiriusXM, and I know that they've got Howard, they've got Opie and Anthony, they've got the NASCAR, and they have,
Oh, God.
Well, what's your problem, Phil?
Are we going to get to it sometime today?
Well, never mind then.
But you don't have anything else.
That's a good point. They don't have anything else.
No, I know there's one other thing that Frank likes.
Is it porn?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry.
Is it porn? All right, so get a backstage pass, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. When's the Green Bay-San Francisco game? I meant to look it up because I was thinking maybe, if it's not too early, we'll do another Football with Phil session on Phil TV this weekend.
Oh, God. Well, don't say that, because people will be very upset if you don't do it.
I didn't say it yet. I want to find out. I want to do the Green Bay-San Francisco game, but I don't know what day it is, and more importantly, what time of the day. Because if it's too early, you can forget it, Jack. I ain't crawling my ass out of bed. Last year, we did the playoff games, or we did part of the season, I remember, and some of the games we did were 10 a.m. on the West Coast because of the time change. And I'm getting off the air at 1, and I'm doing... Well, actually, we were doing the Saturday night show then.
Yeah, so there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I'm fine unless it's a Saturday game.
If the Green Bay game's, I think it is a Saturday game. I think it is tomorrow. And I think it's the early game.
Well, I'll check it out.
All right. So that may happen this weekend. Stay tuned. Watch the website. We'll find out before the end of the show. Official, grandparents abducted Indiana boy in 1994 when his mother was living in a car. Now, this is the story we were talking about last night. I think it's, I don't know, stuff like this just fascinates the hell out of me. In 2006, an 18-year-old man legally changed his name to Michael Jeff Landers. 6 years later, authorities determined Landers was really the Indiana child who'd been abducted by his paternal grandparents in 1994. Richard Wayne Landers Jr. was reportedly abducted when he was 5 years old. The 24-year-old Michael Landers now lives in the small central Minnesota town of Bowerville, the Todd County Sheriff's Office said today. Sheriff Peter Mickelson said the investigation is ongoing. The case will be forwarded to federal authorities for possible charges. Now, it's unclear what Landers knew about his history, but authorities said he had lived with his grandparents since birth. Well, little did they know.
Yeah, that's what they said?
That's what the authorities are saying, that they don't have their ass from a hole in the ground, because apparently this kid was...
Well, maybe it's not true, you know.
Well, I don't know. What is Dan saying here? Saturday, 7:30 at night? Awesome. So there will be playoff football with Phil tomorrow on Phil TV. If you have your backstage pass, tune into Phil TV around 7:30 Central Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. It will be the Green Bay Packers San Francisco 49er game, which I think is the game of the week. They're all going to be great, but the San Francisco Green Bay game, I'm torn. I don't know who I want.
Can we get back to this story?
Yeah, but I'm talking about football right now, okay, woman?
Did he just call me what I think he called me?
Oh, Robert.
I'm sorry.
Did he just call me what I think he called me?
Apologize.
Ms. Gray, I'm very sorry.
Did you call me what...
Margaret, let him apologize.
I'm very, very sorry. That was very disrespectful.
Okay?
Fine.
You don't we don't refer to women as woman, okay? We got it bad enough around here, man, with Bud.
But I didn't do anything.
Well, you will. All right. So we will have football tomorrow night, 5 p.m. on Phil TV in HD. Phil TV in HD on our Phil Henry Show website. It'll be the Green Bay San Francisco game. And if you don't know what football with Phil is, it's basically me sitting there like a fan with you guys, slamming tequila shots and getting pissed off at what I see as a very unfair game, and I'm losing all kinds of money. All right. It's unclear what Landers knew about his history, but authorities said he had lived with his grandparents since birth. According to court records, Landers applied for the name change himself in November of 2006, just a couple of weeks after he turned 18. The application doesn't say why he requested the change, and it wasn't immediately clear how long he had used the name Michael. A home phone number for Landers could not be found, and he and his wife didn't respond to multiple messages sent through social networking sites. But a posting from his Facebook account appeared on Friday night on the Minneapolis television station KARE. It appeared on their Facebook page, saying, quote, "For you people who jump to conclusions, you should find out the whole story. I was where I needed to be. My grandparents were in the right. I don't care what anyone else thinks." All right.
Well, that's, by the way, there's no punctuation there.
I don't know if this is, I don't know if they're actually, well, yeah, I guess you're right, Margaret, because there are, the punctuation is proper in some parts and not in others. He's obviously posting this in an emotional state, and he put quotes around grandparents.
Bad people don't know how to use that, though.
Well, yeah, the grammar is, it's not so much the grammar, he doesn't know much about punctuation.
So what are we saying here?
His education.
Well, maybe he's not that bright. Maybe he was not so much bright. Maybe he didn't pay attention. I don't know. You know, I'm always, people call me a grammar Nazi, and I know I fracture my English. I do it on purpose on the show because it's a part of the presentation. I sometimes fracture my grammar because I want to sound colloquial. Sometimes it's because I am a grammar Nazi, and I'm a punctuation Nazi. And I don't know my ass sometimes from a hole in the ground, but I look for those kinds of things. See, when I see this, then I find fault. But you know what? This is the norm.
Well, Phil, you are a little anal with all of that.
I'm anal? How?
What do you mean by anal? that got to do with anything?
It's not what you think. What we're saying is that you are sometimes give it a rest, you know? Like what? Well, the whole you're.
Hey, let me tell you something, Margaret.
Well, that's...
No. If somebody says you are going to the store and the contraction is you're going to the store, then it's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
We know that.
I don't think we do. And it drives me ape when I see somebody write Y-O-U-R. It's dumbass, okay?
That can't say dumbass, man, just because somebody don't know that.
Let me tell you something. Nothing blows your credibility more if you're posting something on Facebook or anywhere else. Nothing immediately detracts from what it is you're trying to say by bad spelling, bad grammar, and no punctuation or lack of an understanding of punctuation. Some people go on Twitter and Facebook and they think they're making some great point. Meanwhile, they're spelling there when they mean there, you know, something's over there, T-H-E-I-R, or, you know, they get it, the reverse wrong. And suddenly everybody is tweeting what a dumbass this guy is. And he's upset because no one's listening to the point he's trying to make, which nobody is going to listen to the point you're trying to make. It just, that's just the way it is. If you can't communicate and you show a lack of understanding of how to construct a sentence, how to spell words, etc., people are going to laugh at you and they're going to take that as an advantage to just completely dismiss what you're saying.
Well, is that right?
Probably not.
All right, then why do people do that?
Because it is distracting. It distracts people. They read this stuff and they go, I can't even read this any longer. This guy is so stupid. He can't spell. He can't put a sentence or a paragraph together. And next thing you know, they don't want to read it anymore. And all they want to do is make fun. So when we talk about this guy, Mr. Landers, and his posting there on Facebook, I think I understand what he's saying. It's not so terribly put together that he's spelling things wrong. He's missing some punctuation, but he was probably really emotional. Landers didn't immediately respond to a follow-up message from the Associated Press seeking confirmation it was his statement, the statement that was shown on TV by the station in Minneapolis. AP believes the Facebook account to be Landers based on multiple links between it and confirmed friends and relatives. So there's AP doing its due diligence.
So they did confirm?
Yes, because they found out who this man's friends were, and they saw links between the friend and the account. His grandparents fled during a custody dispute with Landers' mother in July of 1994 from Walcottville, Indiana, about 50 miles southeast of South Bend. The mother and stepfather of this boy were unemployed, and they lived in a car, recalled John R. Russell, who spent several months investigating the disappearance with the LaGrange County Sheriff's Department in Indiana. These people, the grandparents, were nice people, said Sheriff Russell. It was wrong for them to do it, but I can understand why. But I also think the child would be in. But I also didn't think the child would be in any danger at all with them. Was the police officer.
This is the man that was investigating.
Yes, this is the officer that was investigating. But an attorney for Landers' mother refuted claims that she was homeless at the time. Attorney Richard Muntz said Landers' mother, Lisa Harder, spent only 3 days living in a car, and it was with Landers' biological father. She had divorced Landers' father by the time the grandparents obtained custody after Harder, who has mild developmental disabilities, moved into a group home that could not accommodate children, Muntz said. Well, hello.
Well, but Phil, taking off with that child for 20 years is different from assuming custody, okay?
Why I gotta go custody?
Because I want to make sure that you knuckleheads understand.
Oh, well, now we're knuckleheads, huh?
I don't like this one. In other words, if you... Never mind.
Now, y'all don't like old custody.
Yeah, how come you always gotta do that?
Hey, just...
I'm not addressing you two morons, all right, so...
All right, so I understand your point. It's a good point. And we got to take a break. So let's take a break. I'm sorry. Just noticed the time here, Dan. Excuse me. We'll be right back with more here on this young man, Richard Landers, a.k.a. Michael Landers, a.k.a. the 5-year-old that became the 24-year-old and was found by the police and the parents and the this and the biological that. And we'll be right back. World famous
Truth
Phil Henry Show.
He's our bitch. The that Phil Henry Show.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Of course, our number 877-876-PHIL. We have with us Harvey Wireman, who generally joins us for any kind of a legal issue that we want to talk about. And tonight, Harvey is on the promenade there in Santa Monica with his granddaughter and his daughter and other family members. Harvey?
We've got a couple of people in from out of town. We got John Sherbach. I don't know if you remember him. He was a member of my firm, and a couple of other people.
Okay. Do you know this case that we're talking about?
I know a little bit about it, and I know something about custody laws, but I can tell you that it's a sticky wicket, because you've got this, and I have the story here, you've got this kid by the name of, okay, well, I got here, an 18-year-old man changed his name, this was to Miguel.
It's Michael Jeff Landers. Do you have your glasses?
I got to get the glasses, will you? I don't want to go through this again. I got Henry on the phone. Honey? Yeah. I'm at the promenade, Phil. I got my granddaughter. She's too young to be out this late, by the way. I got into an argument with my daughter, but I guess, you know.
Don't involve yourself in somebody else's parenting, you know.
All right, but I mean, I sure didn't do it to her mother. See, in other words, that girl grew up to become the parent that she is with the brains that she's got, because we raised her properly. We got her to bed, and we got her inoculated, and we did. And now, why? Why did we do all of that? I raised a woman who now lets her kids stay up late, and I don't even think the kid's been immunized.
You're kidding.
No. I got a daughter that's one of these touchy-feely earth, you know, earth women, whatever you want to call it. So,
well, you got to sum it. That's just...
Tell me about it. What do you want me to do? She's in the Whole Foods, and she's getting grain and all of that garbage that she eats. My daughter and her husband, and I like my son-in-law, Jeff, but the two of them, I'm telling you, when they visit, the toilets in my home, and I've got a beautiful home, Phil, I can't do it anymore. And I told them. Because they...
I don't know. What do you mean?
Oh, God. Would you stop, Harvey? I know. Wait. They're eating a lot of grain, and they're... In the morning, there's a lot of flushing of toilets.
Well, aren't you smart? That's exactly what I'm saying. Why? I'm not trying to keep a secret out of it. What I'm trying to say is this. My daughter is an earthworm. Not an earthworm.
She's one of these new age people.
There you go. That's what I was... The new age.
What do you mean, one of these? I happen to be one of these.
Not like this woman. This Harvey's daughter.
My daughter Margaret is the whole grain and the wheat and I would not be surprised if I saw my daughter out in the backyard some morning, on her hands and knees, gnawing on tree bark and trying to burrow a hole and live in a hutch. I'm not kidding.
And, well, do you fear for her sanity?
No, I don't fear for her sanity, but I can tell you that I raised this girl to be, and now I raised her up so that she's gnawing on tree bark, and she's taking 4, 5, 6 trips to the toilet every day from the brand that she eats, and the husband, too, and my granddaughter, between the three of them. Well,
I think we understand.
All right, fine. You understand. I'm the one with the plumbing bill. You understand that part?
I think we understand, Harvey.
Oh, I'm trying to determine. Do you understand?
Yes, Harvey, we understand. You got the plumbing bill.
Yeah. Okay. So you talk all your smack, Margaret, when you get people visiting your home who are on a brand kick or on a wheat, you know, I'm telling you, Phil, I could take the stuff that my daughter eats and I could plant it and feed whole nations with the corn and the barley.
Well, what is she eating, man? Seeds and...
She's eating seeds and stems and grains that come from... I don't know.
All right. Tell me about this kid. And here's what I want to find out.
All right.
I want to find out what the law says. How does the law come down in this case? There seems to be, even though the law might have been broken by the grandparents... It seems to me that the law would show some consideration for the fact that they took this child out of a a bad situation.
Yes, of course. And that's up to the DA. That's up to the district attorney, the prosecuting attorneys. In the case of this guy, Mickey... No, now, wait, it's Richard Landers. Richard Wan.
Richard Wayne.
Richard Wayne? Who? Well, who's Michie? Who's Michiel?
Michael. Michael Jeff Landers.
Oh, all right, well, who's he?
That's the same guy. He changed his name to Michael Jeff from Richard Wayne.
Well, what kind of a name change? Is this guy kidding? So he thinks he's going to cover up who he is with... The last name is what counts.
Well, I'm suspecting that he didn't want to change all of the paperwork and all of the... everything that is recorded having to do with his existence on this earth. I guess he didn't want it all to get upset. Maybe the last name is... keeps that intact, you know?
Well, in what way?
Well, because he's got this Social Security number, which fortunately is how the police were able to track him down.
All right, well, I think that in the case of the grandparents taking this kid, this
Richard Wayne. Have you got your glasses?
Glasses don't help when you've got these names. Is that German?
Richard Wayne.
All right, well, I can tell you that in the case of this man, the judge and the prosecuting attorney will say, all right, we've got a consideration here, and we do not think the law need stringently apply. They can do that. They can dismiss the charges. But here's the problem. There's a mother that wants to sue. The mother of this kid has already lawyered up, and...
All right, hold on, Harvey, okay?
Do we got much longer?
Well, just a few more minutes.
All right, because my daughter looks like she's coming out. She's got a barrel. What has she got there, Jeff? She just bought a barrel of oats. A barrel of oats? I don't have a horse. You see what I...
All right, hold the line, will you? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I have a horse.
Okay.
Yeah? Those aren't my glasses. Where'd you get them? They belong to somebody. They belong to that man.
Harvey Wyman is on the line with this world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey?
Yeah, listen, I got to tell you. My daughter just came out of the Whole Foods. Are you sitting down? You got to be sitting down for this one.
Yes, I am.
All right. You got to be sitting down. She just came out of the Whole Foods. She's got a barrel of oats. And, Jeff, what is that? Yes, it is that weird. What are they? Three feed bags. Yeah, the kind that you strap on a horse, only these. She's going to have her and her husband and my granddaughter strapping on feed bags and eating out of a barrel of... Is that it? I don't understand. No, I do understand. I'm going to tell you something. People have lost their minds. I don't care. Hey, hold on. Sharon, I don't care, honey. Now I got an argument going with my daughter, Phil. Can you...
All right, just please...
Hold just... What? I don't care. You're not going to put a feed bag on my granddaughter. I don't care. You see this? This is what I'm talking to Phil Hendry about, the kid that was abducted. If I got it, I would never abduct her, no, but I would take, I'd consider it if I knew that my granddaughter every morning had a feed bag on. Where are you going to move to? Are you going to move to a stable? What? You're not going to believe the conversation. So you think you're Joseph and she's Mary, is that it? You wouldn't believe the conversation I'm having right now.
Are these people stable?
You know what, Phil Hendry just asked if you were stable. And I would ask, are you going to be stabled? Get it, Phil? Stabled horse?
Yeah, I get it, but you're telling me that these people...
Hold on. What? You talking to me? You know something, I might be pushing 82, but you know, Jeff, that I could take you apart at the joints. You know that. And let me tell you, where are you going? All right, screw you. They're going to the car.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to sit here and I'm going to finish my coffee. That's what I'm going to do. What do you mean, what am I going to do?
So Harvey, I feel bad. You should, patch it over with your family.
Oh, get out of here. They're fine. Now, if worse comes to worse, I'll go down the street here to Shutter's, and I'll get a late meal, and I'll stay at the hotel.
All right. You're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, let me tell you something. My daughter she's got a screw loose. She's got a barrel of oats. And right now, I can see them loading it into the back of the SUV. She's got a barrel of oats, and she bought 3 feed bags. It's like almost as if she thinks she and her husband and her daughter, they're turning into horses or something.
Well, that sounds very weird, man. I've never heard of humans eating out of a feed bag.
Yeah, she thinks that it's more healthy, that you're not using a fork and knife, that you're just using you just stick your face down into some gruel, that it's healthier, and that you learn to appreciate, I don't know what she thinks. Hey! Let me tell you, do you guys need directions to Santa Anita? Do you hear that one?
Yes. Is that you talking to your daughter?
Yeah. I just said, do you need directions to Santa Anita? Because that's where you want to live. Hey, Jeff, let me tell you something.
Harvey.
Hold on. Let me tell you something, Jeff. That's my granddaughter. I know that's your daughter. Well, that's what... You guys want to slap out a feedback. Santa Anita is due east. Yeah, and get there in time, because I think the afternoon races start at 1:30. Oh, God. You know what? You too. I'll tell you.
I thought you had a good relationship with your son-in-law.
I do. I got a great relationship with him. But he is about as PW as they get when it comes to my daughter. And when she gets into her feedback kick, look at them. They're all hanging around. They expect that I'm going to say, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. I'm going to go down the street. I got a car coming. I'm going to go down the street to Shutter's.
All right. I mean, I guess you're a grown man, but I just feel bad that in the middle of us interviewing you for this, that you got into it with your son and your daughter.
Well, of course I'm going to get into it with my son and daughter. We're fine, Phil. Let's keep going. She comes out with a bag of oats or whatever the hell, a barrel of oats and 3 feed bags, and I'm supposed to stand here and just go, that's just fantastic. So where do you want to go?
All right, well, what I wanted to do is finish here, because I had been reading this story. An attorney for Lander's mother refuted claims that she was homeless at the time. And you alluded to this, Harvey, that there was an attorney that the mother of this boy, this young man now, Mr. Lander's, this attorney that she had retained. She had divorced Lander's father by the time the grandparents obtained custody. Now, the grandparents had partial custody. She had weekend custody. After she had moved into an apartment, she'd been in a home for people with mild developmental disabilities.
But she wasn't mentally retarded, mentally disabled or anything like that.
I don't know. But the court said, okay, now you can have limited custody of your son weekends. The grandparents maintained, I guess, custody during the week. And this was on a trial basis. Before she could get him on a full-time basis, the grandparents left.
The grandparents to get the kid out of Dodge. Okay.
Right. He said the grandparents, according to this sheriff's deputy, Mr. Muntz, Deputy Muntz, the grandparents withdrew $5,000 out of a home equity line, went out for breakfast, and then left town. The trail on the case went cold the day they disappeared. There was no trace of them after they left the restaurant, according to this police officer. That's pretty... Wouldn't you call that sloppy police work?
Yeah, you better believe I call that sloppy police work. That is absolutely slop police work. You got to try to tell me, if you know that a trail goes cold right out of a restaurant, then you must have picked up the trail right out of the restaurant. And if you pick up the trail out of the restaurant, that's not a difficult thing to find out where these people went. So what this cop is saying is basically, we didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground, with the story.
All right, the grandparents were charged with misdemeanor interference with custody, which was bumped up to a felony in 1999. But the charge was dismissed in 2008 after the case went cold. A charge doesn't get dismissed because a case is cold, does it?
Oh, no. It gets dismissed if the statute of limitations.
What's a statute of a limitation?
Who the hell was that?
That's Bud. Statute of limitations.
No said statute?
It's not a statute. Yeah, Mr. Henry's right. Statute.
Statute, meaning a law. And the law of limitations comes into effect. Investigators reopened the case in September after a conversation between Richard Harder, Lisa Harder's husband, and an Indiana State police detective who attended the same church prompted another search of Lander's Social Security number after several others over the years yielded no sign of him. Aha! So several others are several other searches of his Social Security number. So that proves to us that there was no employment until there was no record of employment, right?
No record of employment, no record of taxes being paid to the Social Security Administration until they checked at this most recent time.
Okay. That turned up a man with the same number and birthday with an address in Long Prairie, about 100 miles northwest of Minneapolis. Indiana State Police then contacted Minnesota law enforcement agencies, which began investigating along with the FBI and the Social Security Administration. Minnesota officials say the grandparents, now living in Bowerville under the assumed names Raymond Michael Ittings and Susan K. Ittings, verified Lander's identity. They were known as Ruth E. and Ruth A. Landers at the time of the abduction.
Is that their real name?
I would have to think it's their real name. That was the young man's name. The young man, I guess, was known as Landers, that's what I would think.
Now that Landers has been located, his mother is eager to talk with him, but that hasn't happened yet. What we're trying to do now is to establish a way for Lisa and young Richard to get reacquainted, said the attorney.
Well, what are you spitting out, said the attorney? What's that mean?
Well, because this is her attorney, and he's using all of that kind of attorney talk, like, oh, young Richard. What he's trying to do is make it sound like, in for the public consumption, that he's still a little boy and his mother wants to see him.
What is your intimation? What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say he's an adult man, and he can see who he wants to see, and he doesn't have to see who he doesn't want to see.
Well, are you trying to tell me that this guy is going to keep a mother who hasn't seen him for 24 years away, keep him away?
It's up to him, but all I'm hearing is from this lawyer who's trying to maneuver this thing so that this young man meets the mother. Now, the quote from this kid is that his grandparents, he stands by his grandparents. His grandparents treat him well. I guess there's a lot of, and I agree with him. And my God, this guy is getting an education in the mentality of the American, in the mentality of the public, because he's having to deal with every moron under the sun. Everybody who's unhappy with their own life, everybody that wants to crank, everybody that wants, you know, and they're all saying that he's a piece of crap because he left his mother.
I'm not saying that, but this guy, he didn't want to see his mother.
Maybe, I don't know, but I can see where this lawyer is trying to maneuver this thing. A woman who answered a phone number associated with the Ittingses declined a request for an interview. A couple that answered the door at the home declined to identify themselves. So I guess we can assume that's them. A spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota, Jean Cooney, said charges in such a case could be related to non-custodial kidnapping, whether the child was exploited, abused, trafficked, or being used to obtain benefits. Michael Landers and his wife, who police say are expecting a child, this is the young man that, you know, went away with the grandparents.
Why'd you say abducted?
Okay, abducted.
Why are you saying abducted?
Because Bud just asked me why I wasn't saying it.
You don't have to say abducted. He was obviously taken for his own good.
No, he wasn't. It was against the law, and everybody knows about it.
Okay, thank you very much, Matlock. That's great, Phil, that you've got a guy, you got Matlock there with a plate in his head. I guess you don't need me.
Wow, did he hang up?
Yeah.
Well, he must have been really pissed off.
Well, I think he was just getting tired of the whole...
First of all, he spent most of his time talking about his daughter with a barrel of oats and 3 feed bags. Then I finally get him focused on this, and he hangs up because, Bud, which I think he had a good point there, Bud. There's, you know, first time for everything.
Yeah.
They did abduct him.
Well, what do you mean they abduct? Obviously, the mother was living in a car.
I don't care if she was living in a car. I understand they did it for the boy's own good, and I'm sure that that would be taken into consideration. Fact of the matter is the kid was abducted. You know, there are legal ways of going about these things, and maybe there wasn't a legal way, there wasn't an expeditiously legal way to go about this because they were concerned for the kid, and there's a car that the kid's living in, and God knows what. But to take this kid, and for decades, nobody knows where they are, I'm going to tell you, there's a cruelty to that I don't understand.
You know, you're really interesting. Before we went on the air, you were saying, oh, I think I'm going to change my mind on this. Because look at this. They were living in a car.
Yeah, that's right. But I still say, yeah, that's right. I can see where the grandparents did something that was cool. However, I also see how the absolute agony and the strain and the not knowing and good Lord, your child is gone. All right, we'll be back here with more, hopefully not this. We do have a couple of things. I wanted to update you. I don't know how we got into this, man. Do you really want to talk about this woman, Tanya Head?
Yeah, I like the name. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Tanya Head, the woman who wasn't there, the 9/11 woman who was a member of the Survivors Network. There's only one problem. She never was in the World Trade Center. She wasn't in New York on the day of the attacks. And yet she had people fooled into thinking she was. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know what? We're going to table the story that I had mentioned, and one that I completely escaped my view of the news today. And it's an interesting story. It was at the time. It was really bizarre at the time. And I'm wondering what became of the principals involved. It's the story of the Costa Concordia, the cruise ship that almost completely capsized. It just tilted over on its side, ran aground, and then went over on its side. Off the island of Giglio, Italy, or Giglio, Italy, the cruise liner ran aground and capsized while sailing too close to land, and there were 32 people killed, Bud, okay?
Well, I didn't mean to make fun of that, but, I mean, move on, man.
Yeah, well, how tough is it to move on? I mean, like a plane crash, you understand, you know?
Well, you know, 32 people are dead, so we're not about to turn this into a comedy bit. In the name of God, tell me we're not going to do that.
No, we're not turning it into a comedy bit. No.
I'm not trying to turn it into a comedy bit. I'm just saying, how tough is it? You're in a boat.
Yeah, you're not going to be traumatized on a boat.
Traumatized on a boat. I'm telling you, Phil, if I've got to listen to that one right there, the one with the lopsided head, I'm going to lose it.
Margaret, quit trying to control everything, okay? Some stuff you just have to live with. Some stuff you got to go with the flow. All right?
Don't talk to me like I'm some recalcitrant child.
Well, that's exactly how I feel about you sometimes. You want to control every little thing, every little emotion. You don't want people looking at you this way. You don't want people looking at you that way. No, no, don't get up. Don't get up.
Oh, am I being held against my will?
No. If you want to be on the show, you got to be on the show. Getting up and going to the bathroom, getting up and going to get a drink, getting up and going to your car to find lipstick. You know, that's not how we play the game here in the good old broadcast world. Yeah, Bud is out of control sometimes. He says some really weird stuff. You just have to deal with it. It's a talk show, so talk to him.
No, I'm not going to talk to him about it's traumatic or whatever.
Yeah, well, I got to talk to you about your tampons.
See, that's what I mean, you know.
Well, you can't. You're balling up your fist like you're going to belt the guy. You're bringing it up.
I didn't bring up anything about tampons today.
Yeah, uh-huh, today. All right, look, here is the story above the Concordia, the Costa Concordia. And it's an interesting story because, it caused a great deal of trauma to people. There are survivors of this accident that the accident itself still haunts them. And meanwhile, on top of everything else, they're still trying to figure out how they're going to salvage this thing. So this thing is sitting there, I guess, in the inlet or the bay or wherever it is, still sitting there on its side. And they haven't figured out how they're going to, you know, pull that thing out of the water.
Yeah, then it was America. They'd have it done.
You don't know that.
Yeah, they do. Are you trying to tell me if that was in America, they're going to let that sit there in the ocean? In America, we're going to have that thing turned upright.
That is, oh my God, oh, okay. What a fascist view. What an absolutely American-centric and just jingoistic.
Jingoistic?
Yeah, it's all of that America, 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 you know.
Well, you know what? I mean, quite honestly, do you think the American people would sit still for an ocean liner where 32 people had been killed sitting there on its side for a full year and nobody pulling that thing out of the water, doing something with it?
Well, what makes you think we could do anything with it any more than the Italians?
I don't know. It seems to me that we'd say something about it. That there'd be all kinds of people screaming, get that thing out of there, you know, get it, take it to a salvage yard, do something with it, you know. Anyway, this weekend marks 1 year since the Costa Concordia disaster off the tiny island of Giglio, Italy. The cruise liner ran aground and capsized while sailing too close to land, and 32 people were killed. In the years since the Costa Concordia ran aground, the more than 4,000 survivors have looked to move on in various ways. However, CBS News, and this is obviously the story that we're reading from, spoke with five passengers about the memories that still haunt them from the ordeal. Benji Smith recalled people were screaming. It was really, he said, this was the most scared we had been at this point, and we felt like we're going to die. Smith and his wife, Emily, were on their honeymoon when the Costa Concordia struck a rock off the coast of Tuscany, Italy, and began to sink. His wife, Emily, said, when we went up with our life jackets, there were so many people, and people were crying, old people, young people, and I looked at Benji, I said, hey, I don't want to push. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah, I don't want to push either. So I said, okay, if we don't push, we will be at the end of the line. That means we definitely won't get on a lifeboat, and then we might die. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah, that's okay with me, and I knew at that moment that I had married my soulmate. Wow.
I don't understand. I thought they were supposed to have lifeboats for them.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't want to push. They must have been in a line, and people were pushing. They got to the back of the line because they didn't want to be in the middle of these panicking people. And they felt that they would not get into a lifeboat. I don't think that that's, at least in American law, dictates you have to have enough lifeboats. I don't know about the, I know I've been on a, you've been on a cruise ship, Margaret.
Yes.
You're going to go on a cruise this summer?
We're going on the Danube. We're not taking the cruise. We're driving down the Danube. We're not taking the Danube cruise. But we're doing the Danube.
The Danube River.
No, Phil, Danube Boulevard. Yes, the Danube River.
All right, when you say we're doing the Danube this summer, I thought it was a cruise.
No, we're going to drive next to it.
But what if there aren't roads that are next to it?
Then we'll drive as close as we can to it. Don't look at me like I'm from another planet.
Well, that's about the goofiest thing.
You know something? Some people, I do my own thing.
Well, anyway, if you've ever been on a cruise ship, which I have, and I'm sure many of you have, one of the things you do before you take off is everybody's got to go on deck with your little life jacket on. You got to stand there. You're assigned a place where you're supposed to be.
How come?
In case the ship starts to sink, you know where to go.
Oh, okay. But if the ship's sinking, man, and that part of the ship is underwater, then where do you go?
If the ship is sinking and the part that you're... We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Well, answer the question.
We're out of time. Just before we do anything else, welcome to the final hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're looking at, because Dan was telling me in Medford, Oregon tonight, there it is, man, 26 degrees. It's 47 down here. 47?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm just not used to it being 47. The last time it was 47, I don't know when it was. It's 74 in Miami.
Man, I'll tell you, Miami,
Well, it's Florida in the wintertime. Obviously, it's going to be very nice.
74 in Miami right now. I mean, it's January. I mean, I remember when I first started in radio, I started in Orlando, Florida. And this was way back in 1973. But I worked the Midnight to 6 show.
So you've come a long way.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, Phil, don't get upset. That was very funny.
Yeah, I've come along. What's that supposed to mean, man? I was doing a local show then. In fact, I was doing Midnight to 6 in Orlando, Florida, in Winter Park, Florida, on a radio station, the signal of which went due east. Now, that doesn't sound bad. At night, you have a directional signal, necessarily bad. But in Orlando, Florida, when the signal went due east in 1972, you basically had cows, rocket ships, and fish. And that's who you were broadcasting to.
Cows, rocket ships.
What do you mean rocket ship?
Cape Canaveral was out there. That was it. So we had some cows, we had a couple of, maybe an astronaut, and then maybe a sailfish, and a, hey, it's Phil Hendry, and good evening. But I'll tell you, in the summer, and that's when I started. I started in May of 73, and it was like 76 degrees at night, you sweating your ass off. I couldn't believe how warm it got at night. Well, it's the same way now, 47 down here. All right. We're talking about this Costa Concordia here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And by the way, get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com, and you will be happy that you did. And tomorrow night at 7:30 Central Time, 5, did I say 7:30? 5:30 Pacific, we're going to have football with Phil on Phil TV in HD. It'll be the Green Bay-San Francisco game. I'll be sitting in with you, watching, commenting, drinking, eating snack food, etc.
So you will be eating snack food. You're going to go off on a diet.
Nah, I'm not going to eat snack food. I'll just, I'll probably have some tequila shots. And those are 98 calories per. You know, I got, when it comes to booze, I've got the calorie thing down. All right. The captain of the cruise ship Costa Concordia has admitted he was distracted by a phone call at the time it capsized off of Italy in January of 2012, 1 year ago, killing 32 people, including two Americans. This is the anniversary, sad though it may be, of the capsizing of the Costa Concordia. 32 people. And, you know, just to give you an example, how many people died in the Titanic? 1,500 people went down, I think, something like that. So, and we just heard from one of the survivors, two of the survivors, a husband and wife, who said that they didn't want to be in the middle of that crush of people getting to the lifeboats. They didn't want to sit there pushing and just, you know, being a part of a mob. And so they elected to go to the back of the line. And they both figured that they would not get to a lifeboat because, as Dan pointed out here, because the ship was listing to one side, part of it was underwater. So those lifeboats were shot. So you only had essentially half the lifeboats for the full complement of passengers.
What do you mean by complement? Do that they complement each other?
Well, it's an honest question.
Because if you're messing with me...
No, I swear.
Complement means the full amount. Francesco Schettino gave his first interview on Tuesday night after being released from house arrest by a judge. The Costa Concordia... So this guy was under house arrest, huh? The Costa Concordia, carrying more than 4,200 passengers, ran aground January 13th off the coast of Italy. At least 25 people died in the accident, and rescuers continue to search for others that are missing. 7 people missing, then. He is accused of causing the accident by taking the liner too close to rocks near the island of Giglio off of Italy's west coast, and of abandoning the liner while many passengers and crew were still on board. He told Italy's Channel 5 he does not accept full blame for the wreck, but said, "I feel guilty for having been distracted." He was making a phone call to a man on shore, a retired captain he was in the process of saluting when the accident happened, and that the navigation at that moment was under another officer's control.
So it wasn't technically his responsibility.
Well, he's the captain of the ship, but let's put it this way. You have duties that you are either, you're either conducting your duty, or you're, for the moment, the duty is passed to somebody else, and you are making a phone call, or you're doing what you maybe you could be in the bathroom.
Yeah, but that's giving a guy a... he wasn't in a bathroom. If he'd been in a bathroom making a phone call, that would be doubly bad.
Yeah, as it was, he's just making a phone call.
Why would that be doubly bad if he's in the bathroom making a phone call?
Well, you imagine a guy sitting on a toilet and making a phone call? I mean, that's bad.
Why is that bad? I mean...
Well, Ms. Gray, I can't expect you to be objective about it on account of the number of hours you spend sitting on a toilet seat.
And, you know, Phil, I'm telling you.
Well, he's right. He's right. You know, you're in the bathroom a lot.
But why is that an abdication of his duty? Because he's sitting there on the toilet with a cell phone.
The appearance, I guess.
Yeah, it looks bad. To be sitting there with your pants down around your ankle on a phone, man, that's bad.
It looks pretty bad, and I'd have the guy shot. He might not even be guilty.
Well, why would you have him shot?
Because that's about as bad as it gets.
The appearance of the guy.
All right, Don Mixa is on the line with us from Seattle. He is an engineering. Don is an engineering professor at the University of Washington, but he also is an expert in maritime matters. He is the member emeritus there of the Puget Yacht Club. And Don joins us from Seattle tonight. Don, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
Do you know anything of maritime law as it applies to this sort of thing, where a captain may not be necessary? He's on the bridge, or he's in charge of the ship, but the actual navigational duties are at that moment assigned to somebody else.
The way that the duties fall, Phil, is. Quite frankly, the captain is responsible. Ultimately, as we've learned this from the Exxon Valdez and so on and so forth, you may be in your cabin at the time. You might be distracted doing something else. But and it could very well be that, as you said, the navigation of the craft had passed to another officer. But he was on the ship at the time. He was the captain of the ship, and it was his duty to, you know, be pilot.
What did he say?
What?
What did you say?
I'm sorry, I said he was the captain of the ship, and he was on doing the time, and it was down being, you know, part of it, and done with him.
I can't understand it. Don, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret.
You're trailing off.
Yeah, he's on the...
What I said was it's the duty of the captain to be on board the craft, and he's on board the bridge at the time. And while the navigation of the craft is not technically something that he is conducting at that particular time, he's on telephone, he's going to go down the same.
What? You know, you're fading out.
I'm very relaxed, and I'm just saying something I figure you probably already know. I just can't believe it.
All right, let's try something else here. So the captain, now we were talking about the craft and the fact that he was in charge of it, and then it got it ran aground, and he had another guy there. Now he's on the phone. Is there something that is going to is it egregious if he was on the phone and in the bathroom? I mean, is there this is what Bud's got me thinking.
Well, I think Bud makes a very good point, and being Bud, we all enjoy Bud. I am a little surprised, Bud, that you would be so astute as to bring that up. But it is a violent violation of the laws of maritime law for you to. It's one thing to be on a cell phone or be on making a phone call. That's bad enough. But to be sitting on a toilet with your and if the pants are down around the ankles and you got a cell phone and. And forgive me for saying this, but we've had cases where guys have actually been, playing with it.
Again, I can't hear you. You've got to speak up, Don.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to. In other words, what I'm saying is we've got cases where not only is the guy in the can, and he is using the can, he's sitting with his pants down, going to the bathroom, and he's playing, and he's got the phone, and he's also maybe just because he saw a dirty picture, he's got the same thing.
And that's really bad.
Yes, it's absolutely bad because not only are you on the phone, but you're pinching one off and you got a thing in the hand.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I said you're not only in the bathroom. I just get very relaxed and that's not thing.
Well, you're getting too relaxed because every sentences that you're speaking, they're trailing off.
I don't know what you mean by that.
They're going,
Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, Professor Mixon, this is Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
It sounds like this. You're going, yeah, and he's in the bathroom, and he's on the phone, and me, baby, blah, 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 like that.
All right, well, I'll try to be clear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just if you don't mind, I know you're getting relaxed, but don't relax so much we can't...
Yeah, I can't understand it.
So let me ask you, Don, so you agree that it's one thing to be on the cell phone, but it would be doubly bad to be sitting on the toilet?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the perception of that. Your ship is sinking. And what were you doing? I was on the phone, and I had my pants down.
Well, you were doing something necessary.
But people don't go there. People don't go there with that. They think, if you say I was on the phone with my pants off, there's only one thing they're thinking about, and it's not flattering, and it's the height of lazy. I think we're all agreed that there isn't anything lazier in this world. There's nothing more shiftless. There is nothing more irresponsible, shiftless, lazy, and bum-like than to be staring at something on the screen of your cell phone with your pants off.
Well, but the perception that you're referring to could not be further from the truth if the guy's using the facilities.
I agree with you, Phil, but that is not what people are going to do. And I am in the business of perception as well as reality. I'm telling you, somebody got down your bum, pulled down your pants.
All right, well,
okay, I'm going to let you go, Don. Sounds like you could probably use some sleep, huh?
I'm okay, but I just, you know, yeah, same thing.
Good night. Was he like that when you called him?
Well, I sounded tired and everything. I said, Mr. Mixer, Professor Mixer, this Bud Dickman, you'd be on the radio. He goes, yeah. And I go, are we waking you up? He goes, yeah. I go, well, can we talk to you? He goes, yeah. And I said, it's not too late. And he goes, yeah.
You said yeah to everything?
Well, everything I asked him, it just so happened that the right answer was a yeah.
It sounded to me like he was asleep.
No.
Well, if the guy's just going, yeah, 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 I bet you if you would have asked him, hey, do you feel like slitting your wrists? He would have said, yeah.
Yes, I did ask him that.
What do you mean you did ask him that?
Because I thought that I was bothering him, and I said, hey, do you feel like do you feel like cutting your own throat? He goes, yeah.
Why would you ask him a question like that?
Because I sounded like I was bugging him.
So everything you asked this guy, he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like he was asleep.
No, I mean, I got on the phone, too, because Bud was worried. He said, I don't know this guy. I said, are you awake, Professor? He goes, yeah. I said, are you tired? He goes, yeah. I said, do you want to go back to bed? He goes, yeah. I said, I asked every kind of question, and it all sounded logical.
You asked every kind of question, and it all sounded logical. Do you feel like slitting your own throat? Are you guys kidding me? I don't buy it for a minute.
You know, you guys should quit fooling around and start taking your job seriously.
I do take my job seriously. Of the things that they do.
All right, we got to take a break. Look at how late we are. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
If only this was entertaining, it might be worth it.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. That's what he said, just like that. He goes, yeah, 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 yeah.
With Don Mixa, and by the way, on Super Bowl Sunday, speaking of Phil TV, on Super Bowl Sunday, and I believe we can use the words Super Bowl, can we not?
Why couldn't you?
On account of the NFL has a copyright.
It's true. The NFL has the copyright on the term Super Bowl. Now, you know how I feel about copyright infringement. I believe in protecting and observing people's copyright, and I happen to know the law. And, you know, these people would love to message me and say, yeah, do you have right to use the picture? I said, listen, it's called, see, I know what safe harbor and fair use is, and you can use it so long as the copyright holder has not asked you to take it down. Once they ask you to take it down, you must take it down. Now, the term Super Bowl is protected under the copyright laws, I should say trademark, okay?
Yes, that would be a mark. That would be a mark, and in this instance, a trademark.
Exactly. So the NFL has rigorously enforced in recent years what they consider to be the bad use or the improper use or even just the use of the words Super Bowl. There's a lot of advertising that goes on. When it comes to the Super Bowl, say, for instance, Super Bowl sale, you know, a Super Bowl this and that.
Yes, and the reason why are you looking like that, Bud?
Why do you get upset with the way he looks?
Because he looks like he smelled something that...
It does, no.
You look like you just smelled something that came out of someone's ass, okay?
No, but in a way. What I mean is, the Super Bowl is.
Can I do it, bud? Because I know what I'm talking about. Super Bowl, commercial use of that is a commercial misappropriation. If we're sitting here talking about the Super Bowl, all right, that's cool. If I say we're going to have a Super Bowl marathon of the Milwaukee Lions on Super Bowl Sunday, if I advertise a Super Bowl marathon, then, you know, and I'm capitalizing on the Super Bowl, then that is a misappropriation.
Well, wouldn't you be?
No, because I'm not asking people to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not even using the Super Bowl as a way of promoting this. I'm just saying it's going to be happening on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wait a minute, man. That doesn't sound right to me.
Hold on. I'll explain. If I say that we're going to have a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm just telling you what day we're going to have this Milwaukee Lion Marathon. Do you understand? I am not enticing people to watch the Milwaukee, to listen to the broadcast or listen to the podcasts because they're thinking they're going to get the Super Bowl, because they're not. It's just happening on Super Bowl Sunday. So if I say, for instance, there's a Super Bowl sale, all right, there's a Super Bowl sale for TVs and appliances, that sounds like the Super Bowl, the National Football League, endorses it.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying we're simply doing it on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not saying that the NFL is not, I'm not calling it the Super Bowl Marathon. I'm not saying it's the Super Bowl Milwaukee Lion Marathon. I'm not saying it's the Phil TV Super Bowl. I wouldn't say any of that stuff. I say there's a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm simply saying that's when it's taking place.
Why don't you say it's on a Sunday instead of, say, the Super Bowl?
Because it's on Super Bowl Sunday. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, but you're saying, you know.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
No, you're saying that there's going to be a Milwaukee Lion Marathon on Super Bowl Sunday. So aren't you saying that it's going to be on a day that the NFL is doing the Super Bowl? I still think there's something wrong with it.
Well, you can think there's something wrong with it, but you got to be able to articulate it. I know that there's nothing wrong with it. I know that I'm not saying that the NFL endorses it. I'm not saying that the NFL approves of it. I'm not saying that I'm doing it in conjunction with the NFL or the, you know.
No, you're not. You're seeing it on a Super Bowl.
But it's the same thing. The Super Bowl, National Football League, it's their commercial mark. I'm not saying that it is a part of the grand event that is the Super Bowl. I am simply saying that we're doing a marathon on the Sunday that the Super Bowl is being played. Now, you can think what you want, but that's not a commercial misappropriation. The commercial misappropriation is when you say, Super Bowl savings, Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. That is what the NFL has taken exception to, and that's what they've gone to court to overturn, and that's what they, looks to me, like they, you know, will continue to win at. So in any event, that's what I wanted to say. We're going to have a marathon, probably, on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, Phil watching the ball game, now that is a situation where I am using the NFL cast, but I'm using it in a tape-delayed way as a news event.
Uh-huh. Try and dig your way out of this one.
And I,
Yeah, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Well, sound like you are, man.
I'll come up with a good reason why we can do it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to call the NFL and tell them you're doing it.
Oh, great. Thank you, Margaret.
I'm calling... Hello. NFL? Phil Henry...
Here, I'll do it. Hello, NFL? My name's Bud Dickman. The guy that I work for, Phil Henry...
Phil Henry.
Yeah, but look at that right there. Minus one, then two, And then 72.
It's not minus one then. It's 72 in Texas.
That's Texas, but welcome back to the show, folks. We're talking about weather here. And we're looking at a weather map. If you're watching Phil TV in HD right now, we have a weather map up that shows current temperatures because it's butt cold down here in California. And I'm not saying that we got it bad. We're in Southern California. It's 46 degrees here on the coast here in just north of Los Angeles. And as you go up the coast, San Francisco, 43 degrees. All across the country, though, with the exception of like the Rocky Mountains, it's all kind of like the same.
No, it's not. Look at that. There's 72, and then it goes to 31. And then, like, 73.
What is it with you, man? You got the Texas border, then you go up to Montana, and then you're down to Florida.
No. Yeah, you are, man. Don't you know how to read a map?
Bud, that's Texas, then that's Montana, then that's down to Florida, and then you're popping back up again to upstate New York.
What's that one there that's blue?
That's New York.
Yeah, but the other one's blue, too.
That's because that's the temperatures. That's not the state. The other one is Pennsylvania.
They're both blue.
You know something, man? I don't even know why I've got you working on the air with me. I really don't.
You need to go back to school.
What are you talking about?
Bud, for a guy that can't even read a map, why do I have you fooling around on this show? I had to have you back in school studying maps, okay?
No one cares about no map. Who cares about that?
I mean, he's got a point.
No, he doesn't have a point.
Well, Phil, you do tend to overemphasize areas of interest for yourself.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? Are you telling me that you don't need to read a map?
You find it interesting, but who cares?
Yeah, you're all like, ooh, look, there's Pennsylvania. So what?
So what? I'm telling you that it is a level of literacy to be able to know where the hell you are on a map. And no one's ever going to be able to convince me otherwise. To not know where you are. And this is, you see, you're using the argument that people use who never really learned how to read a map. And so they think, I'm telling you, if you don't know how to read a map, it's the same as not being able to read.
Oh, come on.
No, it's the same as not being able to read. You're illiterate. If you can't even find your place on them, let me tell you this. If you can't do the very basic thing, I don't think they should graduate anybody from a high school if they can't find their own state on a map.
Oh, come on, man. How many people can do that?
Are you serious? Are you trying to tell me that if that's the case, then we ought to keep everybody in high school?
Well, then, if that were the case, I'd still be in high school.
Great. You, Bud, Robert, you guys could all be in the same remedial class.
Well, if you think I belong in the same... Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Are you telling me... Where were you born? Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Find Pennsylvania on that map.
Well, I know where it is now.
Go ahead.
There.
Nice going, Margaret. That's Illinois.
No, wait a minute.
Illinois?
Right there.
Kentucky?
You know what, I'm not going to play this game.
I think it's embarrassing. You just pointed out Illinois and Kentucky. You don't even know where Pennsylvania is.
All right, smartass, where is it?
Right there.
That's what you say.
That's what I say? Folks, here, I'll ask the audience. I am going to point at it. Well, you can't see.
Yeah, see, they can't see what you're pointing at. Which one, Pennsylvania?
Which one, Pennsylvania?
Which one's Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania is on the eastern part of it's on the right side of the United States, and it is up in that blue streak. It is just to the lower right of the lakes, the Great Lakes. And I'll tell you where Pennsylvania is. It has the numerals 42 and 46 bordering it on the Atlantic Ocean and the number 50 in its lower left-hand corner. That's where Pennsylvania is. And
well, that doesn't say anything. There's a million states up there that have that.
No, there are not. People know what I'm talking about. Pennsylvania is on the East Coast. It's below New York. That's Pennsylvania.
So it's that one there?
Yes, that's Pennsylvania. That's where you're from.
I know I come from a state on the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, then, Margaret, if you know you come from a state on the Atlantic Ocean, why did you point to two states that are not anywhere near an ocean?
Where's the ocean?
Right there's the ocean, that big blue thing.
The big blue thing.
Yeah, but Sandra, you know, I understand what you're saying, but nobody cares anymore about...
Let me ask you guys a question, if nobody cares. Do you know what an ocean looks like?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Of course we do.
Well, you couldn't find it on the map.
I know that Pennsylvania's near an ocean.
And yet you pointed to two states that were landlocked.
What's landlocked?
Boy, you know, you really love to talk about how smart you are.
What do you mean? Are you talking about inside the...
Talk about landlocked as if it's inside.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what landlocked is. It's inside.
You love to lord it over people because you, oh, I love geography.
I'm just telling you, I think it's a cry and shame. It's a cry and shame. Where's Pennsylvania? I'm talking to an educated woman. You graduated from the University of Pennsylvania.
Yes, I did, and with honors.
Well, I think that's a shame, and you can't find Pennsylvania on a map.
I knew where it was, but I took sleeping medication.
Yeah, you're making up an excuse now.
Bud, why don't you just clam up? Because you don't know where it is either. Where's California? You from California?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Right there.
That's Mexico.
No, I'm not there. I didn't know. I didn't point to that. You missed where I was pointing.
Yeah, you did. You pointed to Mexico, man.
Do you know where California is?
Yeah, right there.
See, Robert's the only one of the three of you that knows where California is.
I knew where California was.
Where is it?
Right there, where he pointed.
So, Bud, where is Oregon?
I don't know where Oregon is. Who cares?
It's just above California. Did I ever tell you the story of the kid that I was talking to on an airplane one time? This poor kid, I say poor kid, he was on his way to Camp Pendleton. We were flying from Dallas, and he was a Marine. He was going to be enlisting in the Marine Corps, and he was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm not trying to say anything about Louisiana or any other place. I think that this kid could have been from anywhere. He could have been from New York City. And he's flying on this plane with me, and, you know, I got to talking to him, and I found out he was enlisting in the Marine Corps, and he was on his way to San Diego. And he asked me, what state is San Diego in? I said, it's in California. And then he said, that's the state that goes all the way up to Canada, isn't it?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
How old was he?
He was 18. He was not much younger. At the time, I was only about 23, 24 myself. He said, where's San Diego? I said, it's in the state of California. And he said, that's that state that goes all the way up to Canada, isn't it? I said, no. I said, there's two states between California and Canada, Oregon and Washington. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you should have told him he's too much of a dumbass to be on a Marine Corps.
I'll bet you he probably found that out eventually, you know.
What a waste of space.
Oh, and listen to you.
Well, Phil, I'm not going to be on an airplane saying, where's Pennsylvania? Is that the state that goes all the way to Canada?
No, but if I would have said to you, where's your state, you would have gone Illinois.
No, I wouldn't have gone Illinois. Never mind. I think this is... It's beneath me. It's beneath my dignity.
You said a dirty word.
I beg your pardon?
No, she didn't.
No. You're not getting off that. What do you think I said?
You said D, and then it ends with a C-K, nitty.
I can't hit him.
No, you may not hit him, and no, you may not get up and leave.
That is as vulgar. I'm a woman and a mother.
Oh, Margaret.
She did, though.
No, she didn't. You're being a jackball, and the days are coming here, bud. You know, I gave you that right jab last night. You remember that one, right?
Yeah, you almost broke my nose.
No, he didn't, man. He barely touched you all walking around going, sound like an idiot.
Yeah, well, I had to make sure no blood comes spurting out.
You didn't have any blood coming out of your nose, that's for sure. All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, of course, is online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your needs, for all of your radio needs, and anything else that you may want. It's there at philhenryshow.com. By the way, we didn't get through the whole story on the captain of the Concordia, but to kind of wrap the whole thing up, he was interviewed by Channel 5, Italy's Channel 5. He said that he was on the phone. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then we got in with Harvey Weierman, didn't we? Wasn't he talking about that?
No, Harvey wasn't talking about it.
Oh, we talked to Don Mixa. That's it. That clown that was going... The bottom line on this thing is the guy's been under house arrest. He was interviewed by the television station. He was making this phone call when the ship's accident occurred. but he was not at the navigation of the ship at that time. It was another officer's responsibility. He apologized to his countrymen in the interview, saying, "It is normal that I should say sorry, that I should apologize." He said he thought about the victims a lot and became emotional when reminded of five-year-old Delana Ariati, who was the youngest one to lose her life. Oh, good Lord. "This question devastates me. It is terrible. Let's leave it, please."
Well, I'll bet he doesn't want to be reminded of that.
Anyway, the one-year anniversary, folks, of the capsizing of the ship, the Costa Concordia, happened last year on January the 13th. Man, that was a huge story. And it's funny, when I get to thinking about stories, and I get to thinking about news events, and how big they were at the time, and then they just get swallowed up by another story, and they get swallowed up by another story. And this past week, you know, a gunman opened fire here yesterday at a school in California. But it's like this stuff is just happening. And I got to tell you something. I have been, and I know, you know, I'm swearing off news talk. I'm swearing off news talk that I don't give a damn about, you know. I'm swearing off news talk that I find dull as hell. And I'm not going to be going on and on about this stuff. But this story, this whole thing about guns and the fact that I'm a gun rights guy, it's starting to wear on me, this jazz. It's really starting to wear me down.
You're going to talk about being a gun control guy.
No, not yet, but I'm getting close to, to saying we got to do something drastic. My solution is, like I said, knock it off with all the internet sales and, mail order stuff.
Do they still have mail order, like the catalogs and things like that?
No, they still wipe their butt with it.
Yeah.
They still wipe their butt with it, huh?
Yeah, they put them in an outhouse.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous, this show has just gone to hell in a handcart. We got 15 minutes left. Let's see if we can hold it together for 15 more minutes. Then we got the weekend, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, 3 a.m. in the middle of the country, and 2 a.m. in the almost middle of the country, the mountain middle, as opposed to the central middle. But then there's East and there's West.
And there is also Atlantic time.
Atlantic time, but there's no American part of America that's on Atlantic time.
But by Alaska.
Alaska is on Alaska time, I guess, and Hawaii is on...
Hawaii is on, like, hula time, no, aloha time. So. Wait a minute, hula time?
What do you mean hula time?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That's the good answer. I don't know what the hell they're on, Pacific time or...
Well, it's Polynesia.
Well, they're on their own... Never mind. The point is that those are the times that we're on, and that those are the times that we're off. And, of course, as I mentioned, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Now, getting back to the whole football thing, it's a news event. If I'm carrying it tape delayed, I don't know. I'll have to look into it. Maybe I won't be able to do this. We did it last year, but I'm trying to, I'm trying to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. So if I believe, as I do, heartily in copyright, in protecting copyright, and people, the people that are online and downloading illegally generally are younger people. They don't understand the law. They don't think they'll get caught, so on and so forth. And I'm not interested in catching people that are downloading stuff to use. I'm interested in the people that put it up there illegally. They know that they're putting it up there illegally. They know that they're violating the copyright laws. They know that they're violating trademark. And they're doing it anyway because to them... They don't see that there's a consequence to this. When it comes to the internet and you can't find out the identity of a person, then there is a consequence. However, if you issue a takedown to whoever is hosting it, like YouTube, for instance, they must take it down. the individual that posted it, then they got to deal with YouTube.
So what happens if someone posts on YouTube something that is copyright protected, it belongs to someone else?
If that person sees it, the person that owns it?
Yes.
That person then says to YouTube, they don't deal with the person that put it up there. They deal with YouTube and they say, YouTube, there's something there. It belongs to me and I'm telling you that it belongs to me, and here is my statement of proof, and I swear under penalty of perjury. There's a number of things that the law requires. You're also required to put down the name of an attorney, the phone number, and so forth. And you say to YouTube, take that down. YouTube then takes it down. Now, whoever posted it, that's between them and YouTube. And generally what YouTube does is they, if they have to tell you more than once to not post copyright infringing material, you lose the account. Now, you know, you can go back on YouTube and sign up with a different account, which is what a lot of people do. But it's sort of, it doesn't, you know, there's diminishing returns on that, because how often do you want to keep having your account shut down while you're posting stuff and so on and so forth? So that's the situation. And I, you know, we are aggressive in the way that we pursue that. Now, one of the things that, you know, I have copyright attorneys, and as I like to say, my attorneys are downtown. They're not West Side. They're downtown.
That good?
I like to think it's good.
Well, what does that mean? They're downtown, not West Side. My, you know, Frank is a West Side attorney.
Frank's an entertainment attorney. Frank's, you know, he's a Zsa Zsa Gabor style attorney.
Well, what is that? Is that disparaging?
No, it's not disparaging, but I wouldn't say that Frank's a hardball guy. I want the hardball guys, you know, the guys that are that'll go to war. So, and I'm just kidding around here. So, in any event, you know, there's a lot of different strategy that you use. And now that we are being our website is moving to a new platform, and we have new producing partners, we've got more people involved in this, and it becomes, you know, get even more protected and more protected. I can see the day. I know the day's going to arrive, man, when I'm going to file a lawsuit.
What are you going to do for a lawsuit?
You can sue people that are posting your material, and generally you don't get any money because these people are, like I said, they're young. They don't get it. When you finally say to them, you screwed up and, you know, you better take it down or you're going to get sued, it finally takes a while. It finally occurs to them that they really did do something that's going to get their ass into hot water, and they kind of go away. But some people really dig their heels in because the idea, the Pirate Party has, their message has been misconstrued. The Pirate Party is this Internet Freedom Party. And so the message of the Pirate Party has been misinterpreted by a lot of people to mean just go ahead and violate all kinds of copyrights. I've spoken to members of the Pirate Party, and that's not where they're at all. They don't believe in violating copyright. They just want to make this process easier and simpler and not be so, not affect the consumer as much. But, you know, the point is you tell them you take it down, otherwise you get sued. Now, there are people that want to dig their heels in, and sooner or later you got to sue them, you know. And basically what that means is you're going to get attorney money. You're not going to get any bread.
Well, what about a large company, though? Like if you find out that... you know, there's a big company out there, like CBS or.
Well, you know, if you can get your hooks into a big company, yeah, you sue them. I would. I'd sue them for a lot of money. You know, if they can afford it. But CBS, you don't worry about people like that. They're not going to freaking infringe Phil Henry's copyright. No, you're talking about the little guys. And some cat, when we did our Reddit interview, the guy says, hey, you know, what's up with you and the copyright infringement thing? And I said, well, it's my business. You know, it's how I make my living. And so, like any other business, I would protect my product. He goes, well, I mean, if I had more than one, I wouldn't mind if people took it. I said, if you had more than one, you wouldn't mind if they took the other stuff? Yeah. So some guy chimed in and said, well, that's exactly what happens with recordings and videos. There are more than one of them, and they still are, you know, obviously owned and protected by the law. So this guy, I think he was probably about, I think he was like 45 going on 13. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com, where you get, as I mentioned, live streaming video of our show, over 4,500 hours of downloadable material, and, of course, you have a daily podcast, and you have our video cast, and you got all of that stuff. So join us for that, and we'll see you Monday. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.